the line, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here this morning. We now welcome onto the call the head coach of the Delaware Blue Hens, Danny Rocco. Good morning, Coach Rocco.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Well, another hard-fought, back-and-forth Delaware-Towson game on Saturday. Your team comes up a little bit short in that one, 31-24. Last drive there, you come up about a half yard short. Just as you've gone back and looked at the game, just give me your impressions.
Well, it was a really good game. I thought both teams played really hard. I thought offensively we got in some rhythm. We got in sync. We had pretty good balance. I thought Nolan Henderson performed well, made some really clutch throws for us, and scrambled and kept some plays alive and improvised and made some plays down the field. Will Knight had another really good game running the ball. I thought our O-line was solid. Defensively, did not really contest throws in the first half very well. They had a lot of chunks and some big plays for yardage and scores. And then in the second half, defensively, we played really well. Held them to a touchdown. And so the game was back and forth. It was kind of a game of offenses answering offensive scores. Flacco's really good. And continue to be very impressed with his body of work, and he just kind of does the same thing every week. He goes out there with great poise and makes good decisions and extends plays, and they use him as a runner when they need to. He create when he has to, and he can sit back there and be accurate when he needs to do that. So but as the game came down to the end, we had a chance with a third and two on the 14 going in, and then a fourth and two, and Nolan got into scramble mode, and you kind of slid, but slid just short of the sticks. Obviously, if he didn't slide right there, we would have had the first down, and we could have at least extended the game. And if we get the ball in the end zone there with the first and goal, we can, push the thing into overtime. So I think it was that kind of game. It was that kind of close game. And when it was all said and done, they made a play or two more than we did.
He touched on the return of Nolan, 240 yards and a touchdown through the air, 48 yards and a touchdown on the ground. After being out for a few weeks, how did you think he looked, and how is your offense different with him running it?
Yeah, so I think that for he looked good. I mean, he got hurt down at Elon and, wasn't cleared to play the next week against New Hampshire, and then he was cleared the following week against Richmond, but I didn't think it was wise to put him out there. And, so he kind of had been away, for a week, and then he'd been back in the routine for 2 weeks, and I thought he was very prepared, very ready to go. We are different. And I think it's kind of part of our growing pains here this season as we've changed quarterbacks or have been forced to kind of make changes at quarterback due to injury. Our style changes a little bit. And in doing so, we haven't had quite the continuity. And I did feel that Saturday down at Towson, we had good continuity. Nolan, oddly enough, Pat didn't practice last week, Pat Kehoe. So the fact that Pat didn't practice, Nolan got all the work and, really was very, very ready to go out there and play, and we called the game accordingly. So you like to have them both, that's for sure. And I'm excited about Nolan's future, no doubt.
You touched on the play of Will Knight in your comments earlier, but 96 more yards against Towson, and I think he's averaging right around 100 yards over the last three games, and has seemed to become your sort of go-to back, your number one back over the last month or so. What have you liked about his growth?
Well, I think, first of all, he has gained a really good understanding of the entire offense. I do think early on, in a player's career or in a system and in a program, you kind of grasp certain things better than others, So whether it's, some of the run game or some of the pass protections or some of the route concepts, as he's been in the lineup more and more and more, he's more comfortable kind of with all phases of the job. So it doesn't really matter what play's being called. He's confident that he knows exactly what and how to do it. As a ball carrier, he's really special. He's got great vision, great balance. And he's got real good quickness and explosion. He can get in and out of his cuts, get in and out of holes. And what he's putting together this year is really a pretty special year. And then, you know, between him and Dejon Lee, we're still pretty much keeping that rotation pretty balanced and working back and forth with both of those guys to really give us a really good 1-2 punch.
Defensively, as you touched on, better in the second half than the first, but one of the things that you were certainly able to do against the pretty high-powered offense was force some turnovers, 10 point extra forces, a couple of fumbles, and Nigel Hill, 6 tackles and a couple of fumble recoveries. Did the fact that you were able to force some turnovers against them please you with the way those guys played that way?
Yeah, no doubt. I do think we hawked the ball pretty good. I do think that you know, looking back on it, those were probably the most definitive moments of the game, and we did not capitalize. And that's, in my mind, that really was the difference in the game. When we were given or presented with those kinds of opportunities, taking the ball away, have some momentum. First time we took the ball away, we went backwards on offense and had to punt it right back to them. It was almost like a wash. And so we weren't able to really take the ball in those situations, advance, and score. So there was no real momentum with the end result of those plays, and then there was no change on the scoreboard, you know. So I do think those were the moments that we needed to capitalize on for us to have been able to go down there and win the football game.
Your team hosts a UAlbany team that's certainly having a nice season. As you've started to study them, obviously Jeff Undercuffler and the receiving corps has been good, but what are some of the challenges they present for you on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, well, they're well coached, and they play really hard, and they're really sound, and that's kind of been an MO here, I think, for a good while. They compete. You always feel like you're going to get, if not their best game, you know, you're always going to get a really good, solid game out of them. I think you hit it right the first time there with the quarterback. Undercuffler is really good, and the two receivers, not to limit it to two, but I know Reeves and Green are really talented players and having outstanding seasons. I know Ten McDonald can run, and he's talented. They got good size in the O-line. I didn't remember specifically, but I think Mofor is second or third in the league, I think, in yards per game rushing, you know. So they got a lot going on over there, and it's really, really positive being led by a young quarterback who's experienced. And, you know, defensively they play hard, they play sound, they play physical. Mentzer 12 is a game changer kind of a player. He's in the backfield. I think he's at or near the top of the league in sacks and TFLs. And the linebackers are big and physical. So they do a lot of things well, and obviously they are putting together a really solid season. It just kind of seems like the vast majority of us are kind of log jammed in there somewhere, and you know, these next 3 weeks are obviously going to be really, really important.
That's what I wanted to ask you before I let you go, is you've been around the league a while, and we talk about the depth and the parity in the conference all the time, but this year seems to have taken it to a little different level. What do you make of the way the league race has gone through this point?
Yeah, I may have a slightly different answer to that question. I mean, not that my answer is any more right, but I just think that it's so balanced. You know, obviously what JMU is doing and has done, you know, remains very special, you know. But as you look at the national poll, you kind of feel like in years past, you know, we'd always have a few teams, you know, really up there in that top 10, top 12. And everyone else is kind of fighting for that, you know, next wave. And kind of feel like now there's a lot more teams kind of in that next wave and maybe fewer teams that have position themselves up there at the very top. And I think it's due to the fact that we're all beating each other, you know, and kind of taking turns evening the score. And, you know, just don't know how many 8-win teams there'll be in our league this year, you know. And again, I guess my point there being that it doesn't mean the league isn't just as strong as ever. There just may not be quite as many 8-win teams as we've had in some years past.
All right, Danny, thanks for your views on that and your time today, and look forward to talking again next week.
Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.